News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What is going on, y'all? 807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Monday morning. Hot. No big change there. It was a hot weekend.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, did you have to do any work outside?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeesh. But that was the easy part. It was the house started heating up, and it wasn't because of the fine work with LNS Air. They've really fixed me up over the years, but it was just hot enough that the AC was having trouble keeping it down to a manageable level. So, I mean, and for me, I mean, it was up at 78 degrees, 79, which some people keep their thermostat that high. I don't know how you do that, but yeah, it got hot and got hot pretty quickly. And wrapping up, heading into week one of the high school football season. So practice this week going to be pretty warm after a couple weeks where cloud coverage kind of really saved some guys and girls.
UTV 44, our first game this week, and that is going to be Saraland, a 6A power. They were in the finals again last year. Did not win the state, but they have in the past, against Jackson 4A. And they've got all kinds of great talent on that team, too, up in Jackson, Alabama.
They've been in the final each of the past 3 years, I think.
They won it last year, I know. And, of course, you might not remember this, but before he was the head coach at Saraland, Jeff Kelly was the head coach at Jackson. So he still has got friends and people and boosters and, you know, people up there at the school that he knows. And they had a great game at Saraland last year, which Saraland won. We'll see how it goes this year up in Jackson.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people are planning on heading up to that game. I'm sure a lot of Saraland fans are. I'm just checking in on the Jackson side of things. And, you know, they travel well. You talked about last year when they came to Saraland and how many people were in attendance for that. People in Clark County know that when Jackson plays Thomasville or either of them play Clark County, those are always tough to park and get into as well. So you know this is going to be a massive, massive game up in Clark County. And I'm looking, so Bubba Butts, who is obviously closely involved with the Aggies program.
Big booster, right?
He's saying here, and this might, people might need to know this that are going up, today is the last day to purchase a cash ticket to the game. No cash tickets Friday at the game. So if you were planning on just pulling up, going up to the press, to the ticket box and ordering tickets, looks like you're going to have to do it online. So GoFan, and I think you've used GoFan before too, haven't you, for tickets to go to basketball games?
Yeah.
But if you're planning on going up there, you might want to get the ticket situation handled as early as you can this week. But I found this interesting. It says, we will have a ticket cap of 4,250 for GoFan and cash tickets. Once this has been reached, there will be no more tickets sold. So
wow,
that's what the max is, I guess, 4,250 people in attendance for Friday night's game.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
And I would think a lot of that is going to be standing room, too. Last year at Saraland, that's what it was. It was like two or three deep standing room, aside from every seat being filled.
Wow.
I wasn't there, but that's the word I got. It was kind of like, this many people be in here right now?
Was it, you think of... You were worried about fire exits.
I think everybody was, because when we got up to Saraland for the next game we did with them, they were like, you should have been here because it was wild.
Also, just quickly while we're talking about while we're talking a little football before we move on to other news, the College Pick'em is live, the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em. I know some folks have had some trouble finding the group once they sign in, and we have the links up. So links are up at fmtalk1065.com, and there are also some ways you can click through on our Facebook page. But if you go to fmtalk1065.com, at the top of the page you'll see College Pick'em Challenge. Or you'll see the image kind of in the middle of the page as a football and a trophy with FM Talk 106.5 on it. You click on those, that'll take you to the directions to get into the league for the first time or to rejoin if you played last year. Now, if you're one of the folks who's rejoining, once you sign in, sometimes it's tough to get back and find the FM Talk group. If you click on My Contests, once you're on the main page there for Run Your Pool or Splash Sports, as they're known now, click on My Contests after you're logged in, and it'll take you to the FM Talk 106.5 group. You can join then and make sure you're ready. We're going to start picking next week. So going into the week
Not week zero.
Not week zero. although you get that game in Ireland coming up this week and a few more. But next week, August 30th, will be the first games that we choose. Plenty of time to get in. We'll start running more promos on the air as well, just to keep you reminded. But if you have any issues, just email me, Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at fmtalk1065.com, and we'll make sure you get in before we start picking the games next week.
Yeah, and so again, before we get off college football, let me just say this weekend, before the season really begins, Iowa State versus Kansas State in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense. Okay, so anyway.
Two offensive juggernauts.
Friday night, and I don't know what they are. I think they're both pretty good. Friday, all the attention was on Alaska.
Mm-hmm. I think I texted you.
I did.
Well,
you were waiting on the
post-game interview is what I was waiting for. But after watching the arrival of the Russian president, the arrival of Trump, who was in a much larger plane, that was noted by a lot of the broadcasters. If you're having that kind of contest, that swinging contest, show up in Air Force One, it's tough to beat. But he even topped that. I mean, I think the coolest thing was when he and Putin met in the middle. And a lot of people are upset that they used the red carpet.
I know. I heard that earlier.
This was a massive meeting, a very important meeting. And part of that process is making the person you're trying to cut a deal with feel comfortable in a way. But
he also, with the jets overhead,
you also don't want him too comfortable.
That probably wasn't the most comfortable moment for Putin.
That's what I was going to get to. I mean, you have this walkway with our best fighter jets lining the way, and then to do a flyover over Putin with your B-2 stealth bomber and F-22s alongside, that was one of the coolest things I have ever seen anyone do. I mean, he basically had Putin, he goes, and I would love to know what they were saying when Trump kind of knocked him on the shoulder there after Putin appeared startled by the flyover. I think he probably said something along the lines of, that could have ended poorly for you if we really wanted it to, which I'm sure is the message they were kind of trying to send.
Yeah.
Now, what went on after that when they were meeting behind closed doors, a lot of people are guessing, a lot of people think they know, but it does seem like we're a little bit closer to maybe something being settled. And it was interesting, Trump moving off of the ceasefire, which felt like a necessary step to get to a full peace deal, and he's jumping ahead. Skip to the next chapter. He's saying, let's go ahead and get a peace deal done. It'll be harder to break that than a ceasefire.
Exactly. And so they were criticized for that over the weekend. But like right after Friday happened, I guess it was Friday or Saturday, British Prime Minister Starmer and other fellow European leaders basically praised Trump for getting him to this point. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, Italian Prime Minister Giorgio Meloni. Now, there were dissenting voices out there, and they're right here in the good old U.S. of A. In fact, this is a Democratic congressman from Colorado. I think his name is Tim Crow. Anyway, he was on Face the Nation, and he assessed everything this way.
But what happened on Friday, it was a historic embarrassment for the United States. There's no other way to put it. Right? You listen to what Marco Rubio and the president have said. They keep on saying they're dedicating time. They're making it a priority. They're focusing their attention on it. In any negotiation, when you're trying to end an armed conflict, there's nothing more important than understanding what motivates your adversary. What is making Vladimir Putin tick in this instance? What Vladimir Putin cares about is basically three things. He cares about economic pressure in the form of sanctions. He cares about political, diplomatic isolation, being a pariah state. And he cares about military defeat. Those are the three things that will end this conflict. If he feels pressure on all of those three fronts, and this administration continues to be unwilling to do anything to assert pressure in any of those three areas.
So I think Crow, he may be making some points.
Why didn't we send him?
That's what I'm going to say. He may be on an intelligence committee or something like that. But if I could just review all the work that Mr. Crow has done in resolving armed conflicts.
Yeah,
he's been one of the greatest of all time. So then Rubio's on Face the Nation. CBS has got to do better than Margaret Brennan.
She's so confrontational, but she's confrontational about the weirdest things.
She's, and also she wasn't confrontational there. She was the woman interviewing
Crow.
Crow. But with Rubio, it's just a knife fight from the beginning.
But you said that they're coming here tomorrow to keep Zelensky from being bullied. They're not coming here tomorrow. Oh, this is such a stupid media narrative that they're coming here tomorrow because Trump is going to bully Zelensky into a bad deal. We've been working with these people for weeks on this stuff. They're coming here tomorrow because they chose to come here tomorrow. We invited them to come. The president invited them to come.
But the president told those European leaders last week that he wanted a ceasefire. The president went on television, said he would walk out of the meeting if Vladimir Putin didn't agree with one. He said there would be severe consequences if he didn't agree to one. He said he'd walk out in 2 minutes. He spent 3 hours talking to Vladimir Putin, and he did not get one.
Well, because obviously our goal here is not to stage some production for the world to say, oh, how dramatic, he walked out. Our goal here is to have a peace agreement, to end this war, okay? And obviously we felt, and I agreed, that there was enough progress, not a lot of progress, but enough progress made in those talks to allow us to move to the next phase. If not, we wouldn't be having Zelensky flying all the way over here. We wouldn't be having all the Europeans coming all the way over here. Now, understand and take with a grain of salt, I'm not saying we're on the verge of a peace deal, but I am saying that we saw movement, enough movement to justify a follow-up meeting with Zelensky and the Europeans, enough movement for us to dedicate even more time to this. You talk about the sanctions. Look, at the end of the day, if peace is not going to be possible here and this is just going to continue on as a war, people will continue to die by the thousands. The president has that option to then come in and impose new sanctions. But if he did this now, the moment the president puts those additional sanctions, that's the end of the talks. You've basically locked in at least another year to year and a half of war and death and destruction. We may unfortunately wind up there, but we don't want to wind up there. We want to wind up with a peace deal that ends this war so Ukraine can go on with the rest of their lives and rebuild their country and be assured that this is never going to happen again. That's the goal here. We're going to do everything possible to make that happen if it's doable. It will require both sides to make concessions. It will require both sides to get things they're asking for. That's how these deals are made, whether we like it or not.
It's almost like... So again, with Crow, he's talking about, here's our armed disagreements. Here's how they're settled. You know, well, kind of like, who are you, bro?
Yeah.
And then with Margaret Brennan, Rubio's talking to her like she's a first grade teacher or something, like, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, why did Trump say this? And then it turned out we didn't get the. He's like, in the midst of a negotiation, things change. You recalculate. Your goal is to get to this point, and sometimes in the middle of the negotiation, you got to find another path.
Yeah, and they still don't get it.
The argument continued. She continued arguing with him, even though she, you know, just
yeah. And I think what Rubio said there at the end of that clip, where he said there will be concessions on both sides. You may not like it, but that's how conflicts like this are resolved. And I don't know if it's just hard-headed, being obtuse. I don't know what it is, but so many people out there that don't even like that Trump invited Putin to have a discussion. I don't know how you think the war will end without any of those kinds of discussions. But the absolute non-starter, and so many Americans, their non-starter is you can't give away any of the Ukrainian land. And I've seen several texts on it this morning. I know James said Trump undercut Rubio on Ukraine being pressured to give up its land to Russia. Expecting Ukraine to give up land is something no American would go for here, nor should Ukraine, as everyone rises to applause. No, and thanks for speaking for all Americans, but this is warfare. This is it's not a good thing, what's going on over there. And Russia invaded, that's right. But just saying that, no, we're not going to make a deal for any kind of Ukrainian land, that means the war is going to go on. But, I mean, I guess you're fine with that. You're fine with the Ukrainians continuing and Russians to just continue to lose thousands and thousands of people on the battlefield. And Ukraine, because they have fewer people to lose than Russia does, will clearly, eventually, lose this war. The only question is how much money would be wrung out of the United States before it all comes to an end. So if you want the war to end, there will be some land concessions one way or the other. And I know another texter said, "This you can't let Putin get the land that he invaded and stole." He said that would be like if I were Dalton's neighbor and threatened to take his backyard, and Dalton called the police, and I told the police, this is what the texter generally was saying, that I won't stop messing with Dalton until I have his backyard. Well, those aren't two similar things. I mean, one is a war over the lines of a country being drawn, how they're going to draw those lines. And one is like domestic criminal actions. It's completely different things. It's terrible. War is always terrible. But in order to come to a deal, there will be land swapped. And there's a great Wall Street Journal article. I'll just get into part of it. And it's rare these days to say there's a great Wall Street Journal article. But they basically say there are two scenarios in which the war in Ukraine will end. Just two scenarios. And I'll tell you what they say those okay. two scenarios are after the break.
Okay. And also, you know, also as far as the Dalton's Yard dispute, you know, I don't know who you are, but I think Dalton, he would kick the hell out of you. 822. You've got daughters to protect, man. Don't mess with his yard.
And a very, very obnoxiously loud dog in that backyard, too.
Yeah, don't forget about him. It's Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Good to have you along. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 827. Just about anyway. And the text line, 251-343-0106. Getting some reactions from what we talked about last segment.
Yeah, so Josh texts in, Ukraine should not have to lose land to Russia. Russia can't handle the land they have now. Sounds like Russia has not learned their lesson while they were the USSR. There will always be war. Sorry for being a negative Nancy. And says there are a lot of hot Ukraine women, so I do hope the fighting stops. Thanks, Josh. Let's see. Tony from Fowl River, if this will load up real quick, says, okay, he's asking about podcasts. I'll check on that podcast for you, Tony, and make sure that it's loaded up for you. Damn Yankee says, European borders have been redrawn hundreds of times throughout history. Read a book, Backyard Caller. And Pete says, then suit up and strap on, bucko. I believe in reference to the texter who said Ukraine should not be expected to give up any land. No American would have it, and neither would the Ukrainians. Well, Wall Street Journal, so they put out an article yesterday. The Trump-Putin summit in Alaska is over. Peace in Ukraine isn't yet nigh, but the two most likely endings to the Russian invasion are coming into view. And this is how I've felt for a long time. I think it's how a lot of people have felt. The two options are, one, Ukraine could lose land but survive as a secure and sovereign, if shrunken, nation state.
Right.
Alternatively, it could lose both land and sovereignty, falling back into Moscow's sphere of influence. I think that's about it. That's about the two options. There's no way you're going to go back to the original borders. And by that, I mean 2020, much less 2014.
Well, and they, you know, 2014, they grabbed some land there, and Ukraine survived it, I guess mm-hmm. you would say.
Yeah.
Also, this is Larry and Daphne, I believe, this one day. President Trump brokers a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia within the first year of his presidency. I don't know what people would have to complain about. That's kind of like, I would agree with that. I mean, he's already done some solid work with Turkey and Pakistan.
Well, he says he's ended five wars this year, I think, and I can't name them all off. You have
Rwanda.
You have, what all is he considering? Is he considering Israel and Gaza? Because that certainly has officially come to a close.
He talks a big game, and you can go back and say, well, he said he'd snap his fingers and it'd be, well, okay, well, that's him. That's him selling the idea that I can end this war. The reality is these things take all kinds of time, and we may be on the verge of this one being, you know, according to whoever's scorecard, fairly or unfairly, but that the bloodshed will end. That, well, we could be closing in on that.
And a texter early this morning said, it seems like a lot of the mainstream media and critics of Trump, that they're not happy that even this peace discussion is happening. And the truth is, and it's obvious, people that want Trump to fail want him to fail, even if it harms American citizens, much less Ukrainians. Thirty-five on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Monday. And now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and chat with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great, and things are going well over at McConnell. I want you to tell people, you've had, of course, you have all the new vehicles coming in, but a lot of pre-owns, a lot of trucks on the lot right now.
Oh, yeah. Hunting season right around the corner. We've got a great selection of four-wheel drives. and two-wheel drive, got over 35 pickup trucks. I mean, that's unheard of on the used car side, but we're buffing this used car inventory. You can check all those good-looking vehicles out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And, you know, the new car side is pumping out these new trucks, and we're getting some great trades, too. Got a couple of Yukons sitting over there. I'm sitting there looking at it, and a Yukon XL and those things. You know, you come in and want one, you usually have to order it, but we've got a good-looking AT4, the new color green, mm-hmm. four-wheel drive Yukon sitting over there. So swing through here and check that out. It's right next to a nice little Hummer SUV. We got one of those left. So just, like I said, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
All right, good stuff. And I know you guys are getting fired up about football season over there at McConnell, too. So try to keep the rivalries from exploding over there at McConnell Automotive, Louie.
That's right. We do that every now and again.
All right, appreciate it. Have a good one.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65 and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Okay, from one great FM Talk 106.5 client to another, Hal Hayes is with Ultra Wash. Hal, how you doing? Good to have you in studio.
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Always enjoy when you come in. We're able to talk about just what's been going on. And I always love hearing about the work you're doing out there, of course, as well. For people who haven't heard you talk, don't know you like we know you, kind of tell them a little bit about your business and how great you make. I know I've had you out, and you just do an incredible job. And on a number of different surfaces, you clean a bunch of homes, but you also get the sidewalks. I mean, you do a great job at Ultra Wash.
Well, I appreciate the compliments. Yes, I do exterior cleaning, specializing in soft wash, clean anything from the ground up, you know, concrete, brick, wood, vinyl, stucco, even clean roofs.
Yeah, and it's you have the projects you've gotten have just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and you've cleaned some just massive, I know, water towers and other kinds of big old tanks. I mean, basically anything you're called out to do, but kind of a new entrant into the Ultra Wash capabilities. And this isn't something that I really knew was going on, but a drone for power washing, is that what you have now?
Yeah, that's right. It's a product made by Apellix. It is a pressure washing drone. It doesn't only pressure wash, it also does soft wash. They say up to 150 feet. You can go higher, but your battery power starts going down a little bit, your battery life. But it's a really, really cool product to use. I can't wait to really get it out there and show everyone.
How long has this drone been in the Hal Hayes bullpen where you were like, wait till they see this? wait till my clients realize I've got this. Is this something that you've been thinking about for a while, or you were introduced to it in the market of a year back or so, or what?
Yeah, well, I've known about them for a while, but they're never really thought it was something I could do.
Okay.
Because they're not cheap, let's be honest. But it was something that, you know, my wife and I got to talking about, and I was like, well, this is something that could really take it to the next level.
Sure.
And
I mean, literally. To another level.
Yeah. And we, about a month ago, I guess, I went ahead and purchased it. But the thing is, you have to have an FAA drone pilot's license to use this thing. So that was a process. But got that, and we're ready to take off.
You're certified and ready to roll.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, like, help me out here. Total amateur in this kind of conversation, but you've got to learn how to fly the drone and be certified, correct?
Correct.
And then you've got to learn how to operate the cleaner from the drone. I mean, that's two different things. You have to learn how, like, you've got to learn how to complete a pass.
Mm-hmm.
You have to execute while the drone's in the air and understand how to do the best job of cleaning with the whole contraption, right?
Correct. Yeah, I went to Jacksonville to purchase this thing, and I took some training on how to use it and whatever. And once I got back, then I had to start studying to, literally, as the man said, I'm a heartbeat away from being able to fly a Cessna. It's insane. the training on this thing's crazy. I was learning about airport traffic patterns and just crazy stuff, which I understand, but I've got it ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll that'll really come in handy when you are asked to pressure wash an airport, you know, knowing how to operate the terminal.
Yeah, there's all kind of stuff, you know, knowing where your air spaces are, getting waivers and permissions, and it's insane, but I'm excited about it.
We're talking with Hal Hayes from UltraWash, and I guess probably first thing that comes to mind for me is the pressure itself. I mean, how big is this drone, would you say, if you could kind of generalize, and how much pressure are you getting out of there? I mean, it has to be strong enough that you're really knocking the grime off of a building.
Yeah, well, it weighs 23 pounds.
Okay.
So it's pretty good size. I think it has 16 motors on it.
Wow.
But yes, I can pressure wash. You know, my machines are around 3,000, 3,200 PSI. But it also has capability to a soft wash, which is only 300 PSI. So I can range, you know, from blasting to, doing a soft wash, just real careful and, you know, not to damage the surface.
Right. It depends on what you're trying to wash, how much pressure you can apply, because certain things are a little more
delicate,
yeah, right?
Sure.
So what kind of clients do you think would be interested in what you've got now, as opposed, like, before you had this drone?
Your two legs and whatever lift you could get on before that, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Sure.
So you could do stuff in the past. It was just, it took extra effort and time and purchase and all that, right?
Yeah. Well, in the past, being limited from the ground to about 35, 40 feet in the air, now I can just sit on my tailgate and go up to 150 feet, you know, and clean. But I'm thinking, you know, commercial property managers, people like that, industrial places that have, you know, if you look down.
Towers.
Yeah, you have water tank, all those storage water tanks down, you know, right near the state docks and all that. Like, it varies, man. It can go churches. You know, you think about a steeple.
Mm-hmm.
People put these steeples on these churches and
they're way up there.
How do you clean it?
You know?
I can. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. Really neat thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, and as someone who, and I thought this would fade. I think I used to be less afraid of heights than I am now. I just, something about heights gets me these days. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I thought it would eventually wane, but even now, when I'm up, I think 30 feet is about where I start to go, whoa, I don't like this too much. So that's got to be good news for anyone. And I don't know if you hate heights, Hal. I doubt you do to the same level that I do. But knowing that you don't have to get up on a lift, get 40 feet in the air or higher in some cases for some folks, having that drone ought to be ought to save a little anxiety for that day where you got to go up and wash.
Yeah, that. And let's be honest, I'm not getting any younger, right? Yeah, there's just a lot of liabilities that go out the window when I'm using this thing for myself or even the property owner themselves, you know. So it has a lot of benefits for sure.
So somebody out there right now, and I would say there's a number of people right now that, because we have so many businesses that listen to this station every day, just put it on and leave it on around the clock. And we appreciate that a lot, but we hear from the people at the Business Expo, for instance. We talked to a lot of people down there that were saying that you're our station. We listen all the time. So now you've got people who maybe have some properties like that and are thinking, or they have something that maybe isn't on their primary property, but somewhere else.
Sure.
They're thinking, I'd like to, this guy probably has what I need. What should they do?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even, like, you know, your mind first goes to commercial, industrial, big stuff, you know, but there are a lot of people that have homes that they want their roofs clean.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at some roofs, I'm not walking them. Mm-hmm. They're steep,
yeah,
you know, but I can stand there on the ground and clean it with the drone. And, you know, so that's an added benefit, too.
Yeah, so there's plenty of those out there.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of those on my walks in the rich neighborhoods.
Where you live?
Okay. People will be like, first of all, who's the vagrant outside our door?
Why does he keep staring at my roof?
Now I'm going to be like Hal's wing guy and kind of size up the roof. And at some point, police will be in touch with me.
Yeah, so it's a little dirty up there. I got a guy you can call.
I got a guy for that.
Yeah, people can hit you up. And I just want to, before you say how to get in contact with you, Hal, before you had the drone, you were already doing fantastic work on your two legs. Yeah. And, you know, I had you come out.
The old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way. Back in my day, and, I mean, before someone sells a home or if things have gotten a little too wild around the house and you haven't been able to clean it for a long time, or it's just too expansive of a project for somebody, you just do great work. I mean, when you leave, you could tell that somebody really did a number cleaning up at a house, or, you know, the sidewalks always look great, patio, everything. So if someone's interested in that or want to try out the drone pressure washing, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, and you're right. Everybody's busy, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm here to help. But you can reach me on my phone. It's 251-366-5291. Or you can reach out through the website. Just got a new website I'm going. It's amazing. My wife did it for me.
You're just bringing out all kinds of new stuff. it's like a new you, man.
It is ultrawashmobile.com.
All right.
And I'm on Facebook and Google and all that stuff too. You
know? Well, good stuff. I can't wait. I know a lot of people were really interested in being in on the Maiden Amtrak voyage on Saturday and today. I'd like, if you don't mind, to be invited out the first time you break out this drone on a real...
Yeah, I've had people request field trips already.
Let's start selling some tickets here, Hal.
Hey, good idea.
That's great. Look, I mean, in the last half hour, Dalton's had the sanctity of his yard threatened by someone on... So he may need you out there to use it in kind of a weaponry way. 847 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Weird Al, or is this Michael Jackson?
I think this
only Leanna could cut through that and say, no, that's the Weird Al version.
Leanna, who just went and saw Weird Al not that long ago. And he hasn't changed, I don't think.
No, he still has the perm fro and, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm hearing, so I don't know if Weird Al wears a wig. I don't know if that's been alleged or anything.
I don't think so.
I'm starting to hear they think that the Howard Stern hair hasn't been real for years.
Really?
Have you heard that rumor?
Like, who was the tennis player that forever... Agassi.
Ah.
Agassi fooled everybody for years.
Was he wearing a wig?
Long or? Blonde hair, yeah. It was a wig the whole time. But winning tennis, you know, opens in France and England, and he was wearing a wig.
Wow.
Yeah, like a WNBA player.
I think that's even more...
More commendable.
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty impressive.
I tip my cap to him, but my wig might fall off.
So, coming up Midday Mobile today, Sean Sullivan will have Jerry Carl at 12:30. That will be worth listening to with Jerry Carl, who will officially announce this week, I believe... officially announced that he's running for AL1 once again, now that Barry Moore is moving on to that open Senate seat that Tuberville is vacating to become governor. And Jerry Carl won't be the only one that is in the race. On Friday, Joshua McKee out of Robertsdale announced that he will be running as a Republican for Alabama's 1st Congressional District, 25-year Army Special Forces veteran and Bronze Star recipient. Said he plans to bring conservative Alabama values to Washington and is focused on running his own race rather than his opponent. So I'm looking forward to getting to know Joshua McKee a little bit better as we, after the municipals, head into primaries and midterms next year. Looks like Sean not the only one with Congressman Carl on. He's scheduled for Jeff Poore today at 9:30. Dale Jackson on WVNN will be joining Jeff at 10:30. Also in Hour 3, State Representative Matt Simpson on with Jeff, and State Representative Jennifer Fidler in the same hour.
I like the fact that Jerry will be on with Jeff because I think they'll talk about a number of things, including the state of Washington, D.C., the city itself, and Trump's actions to try and fortify that place and eliminate the crime and eliminate the homelessness. And you know, because Jerry would talk to us about that or even Jeff, too. Whenever we did an interview with Jerry, in the midst of his time up there, COVID and beyond, he would talk about how just unsafe the place is.
Yeah. Well, when you say the state of Washington, D.C., are you saying that D.C. deserves statehood? Is that what you're inferring
not.
There?
I am not. But you know what I mean.
Well, you'll get two chances to hear Jerry.
Yeah.
He'll be on with Jeff and then on again Midday Mobile today with Sean Sullivan.
Yeah, plenty. I mean, he would be a man to talk about that because a lot of people are saying this is overblown. The crime stats say otherwise. Things are going down. But the people who actually live there, I think, are telling a different story.
I think so. Doesn't Have Meta says 30 feet. 8 feet on a stepladder is my max. No extension ladders. I'm big. It's going to hurt when I land. You know what? And we were talking about my fear of heights kind of there, but along with Hal having this drone for pressure washing now with UltraWash. I have to say, I think I might have fibbed a little bit on 30 feet being my max for height.
It's not that high.
I mean, the top of the stepladder, that starts to get me. I broke out the what are the ones that really – the new extension ladders. And by new, I mean they've been around maybe – a decade, but the little big ladders or whatever they're called, big little ladders.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but I took one of those to their max, which is probably the one I got maybe 14, 15, 16 feet.
Like rooftop?
It was actually, I was trying to get to the top of my house more or less.
Yeah.
Middle to top of my house. And, that was frightening. I didn't like it one bit. So height's not for me, and I think Doesn't Have Meta kind of calling me out there. Yeah, 30 feet. I said that's what I'm comfortable with. I'm probably, once I get up to about 15 feet on a ladder, I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me. This is going to hurt too bad.
We grew up in a really old house that just had unusual kind of nooks and crannies. So up on the roof, this was all... The roof was the same way. It was like, and so a wiffle ball would end up on the roof. We're talking about three stories up. I would go out of the attic window, step off of I basically stepped with nothing under me to get a 12-cent wiffle ball.
Yeah.
Time and time again.
It was worth it.
Not known. I don't think that anybody, I don't think my parents ever knew that I did that. It was absolutely, I would never do it now.
I think that there will be a lot more discussion this week. I guess I'm going to go ahead and call the shot. We kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but this trucking accident in Florida from this weekend, and it's gone incredibly viral now. 37-year-old, no, I'm sorry, that's a different story. You have terrifying footage captured a fatal wreck on the Florida Turnpike near Fort Pierce after a tractor-trailer driver identified as Harjinder Singh, who's been in the U.S. illegally since 2018, made a rogue U-turn across the highway, blocking all lanes, and a minivan that had no way to avoid the collision slammed into the trailer. All three people in the van were killed. A 37-year-old woman, 30-year-old man, and 54-year-old man, all from Florida, died in that terrible accident. And the video from inside the cab of this driver making the U-turn, he showed complete, like, just no reaction when this all happened. And then there's some body cam footage of him standing outside of the wreck as they pull the dead from underneath his tractor trailer. And again, he almost looks like you're taking his time. Like, he looked like not sorry one bit, but him being like, here illegally,
he was inconvenienced.
You had the Ukrainian driver that slammed in Thomasville. The back of vehicle stopped at a red light. There's going to be more and more discussion about immigrants in our trucking industry, I think, for the rest of the week.